I want to look at a scripture today, which I was teased about by a delightful lady who was present here over dinner at the feast. She said, have you ever considered the explanation for Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16? Not a subject to broach when I'm enjoying my second bottle of Rioja, but we have thought about it since. I didn't have an answer at that time. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make yourself over wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Now, it's all very well saying that we qualify, according to Paul in Corinthians, about we're foolish, we're poor, we're not mighty. But we also know there are scriptures where we are told that if we lack wisdom, we're to ask God for it. We also know that the disciples were told that if their righteousness did not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there was no hope for them. The scribes and the Pharisees were meticulously righteous. They went to the nth degree to prove their righteousness. But I think we also know why they were proving their self-righteousness. They were actively robbing widows of their houses. There's an interesting study in various other translations. The Amplified Bible, if you like to call this Amplified, rather more long-winded, goes along something like this. Be not, and then brackets, morbidly, exactingly, and externally, closed brackets, righteous, overmuch. Neither strive to make yourself, brackets again, pretentiously appear, close brackets. Otherwise, why should you, we open another set of brackets here, get puffed up, and, close them again, destroy yourself, more brackets, with presumptuous self-sufficiency. That doesn't lose you, I'm not doing a very good job. The Good News Bible, which is possibly the worst translation I have on my shelf, actually is quite helpful here. It succinctly says, so don't be too good or too wise. Why kill yourself? That acknowledges the world in which we live, doesn't it? And it continues, but don't be too wicked or too foolish either. Why die before you have to? Avoid both extremes. If you have reverence for God, you will be successful anyway. That second part explains an awful lot of what we need to do. Remember Job, the example of Job. For 37 odd chapters, he justifies himself. He didn't deserve to have what happened to him. It's a very difficult scripture for... When I was new in the church, it was a book I avoided. I really struggled to do anything right. And if this is the reward for doing virtually everything right, it wasn't something I wanted to think about. But Job was self-righteous. Amazingly, he achieved an incredible standard by his own efforts. We don't come close. But what did Job say in chapter 42, verse 5 and 6? I have heard of you, talking to God the Eternal, by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Finally, Job realized how his righteousness was so inadequate. And we have to translate what Solomon wrote, this most wise of men before Jesus Christ. Don't be righteous over much with your own righteousness. We have to come before God with the realization that no matter how good, how righteous we are from that point forward, we have already earned the death penalty many times over. And I think any of us who are honest, we still approach things with a worldly point of view. In a jocular aside with Mr. Bowles before, I met someone who caused a certain offence to me earlier last year. It was last year now. It's quite a while. And the desire to take revenge on someone who threatened to kill you is very powerful. Interesting how the reactions come out within you. Somebody upsets you when you're driving. The self-righteous attitude isn't at the fore. Why did they carve me up like that? I've paid my road tax. This is my road, all three lanes of it, for the entire length of the journey. We must realize that we come before God to seek His righteousness. If we achieve any righteousness from the time of our baptism, it is not our righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ living His life through us. We need to be showing wisdom. Mr. Armstrong used that foundation stone at Ambassador College. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. That's the sort of wisdom we need to hang on to. Not make ourselves brilliant people by endless study, making ourselves superior in the eyes of the world, accepted by the brilliant of this world. The people like Mr. Attenborough, who so eloquently teaches evolution after he's giving a voiceover on a program that eloquently proves God's creation. We don't need to be brilliant like that. Solomon warned us in Ecclesiastes 1:18, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." Now, that's an amazing truism at this end time. The more knowledge we acquire, the more there is to be worried and concerned about. In the pursuit of knowledge, we have 6 men in this country who are seriously ill, testing drugs. They thought for a fortnight's inconvenience to imbibe of certain noxious substances and to get, I think it's sort of £1,500, £2,000. Well, 2 of them are at death's door, and the other 4 are seriously ill, even though I believe they are now conscious after almost a week of life support machine. They have acquired some wisdom, belatedly, which we would rather be without. So instead of being too good, too wise, follow this wise man's advice again in Ecclesiastes 9. Let's look at what our priorities must be instead of seeking our self-righteousness and our inflated, puffed-up wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 7 to 10. "Go your way, eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your work." If we are developing a relationship with God, if we are seeking the wisdom with God's understanding and what will come through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, "Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment." Those people who can see me realize that I obviously neglected the ointment. "Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of this your vanity, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in life and in your labor which you take under the sun." Be content with what God has blessed us with. I would like to be a millionaire. I'm not. But the things that I do have, I can certainly rejoice before God. I generally have very good health. I have a wife, family, and I have a knowledge of the truth. There are great blessings indeed, and a peace of mind in a very uncertain, dangerous world. Verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 9, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. Enjoy the life we are given. Don't strive by your own strength to be overly wise or overly righteous." The conclusion of the whole matter is that we fear God. That is wisdom indeed. We keep His commandments, but not by our strength, by the strength of his Holy Spirit. Mr. Bowles has said many times, we don't practice a tick book religion. What was the expression? Tick list. We don't have a tick list religion. Well, we've got the Ten Commandments. We've got all the laws and the statutes. But our ticking each one of those off isn't going to achieve anything. We don't ignore them. They are a mirror to us. We hold them up and we realize whether we're on the correct course. They're our satellite navigation system, if you will. But by our own efforts, we can achieve nothing. It is by God imputing righteousness to us. We don't recklessly sin. We don't recklessly go against a tick list. But neither do we tick the things off and say, I am better than them. Tick. I am better than them. Tick. We most definitely are not. It is something we compare ourselves with Jesus Christ, not with each other, not with other groups. And that is the wisdom we seek. That is the righteousness we seek. Let the Holy Spirit work through us and grow in understanding. And I did enjoy that meal. I enjoyed the wine, and I did enjoy the study.